At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. One episode tonight, one combined mega episode. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in.
We had a lot to say last week. We had two episodes, and thank you again for following along from Thursdays, our regular scheduled days, and we went to Friday. But now we're doing one full episode, everything all in one spot, because I feel like that's just what Seth Green would want in his last final dying wishes.
Either way, if you feel strongly about it, you can let us know. We will take your thoughts into consideration. Just let us know. But we're going to try. We thought if it was a crazy long episode, it would be easier if it was broken up into two parts. So if that was easier for you, great. And if it was not, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I do want a quick shout out before we jump right into it, which this is going to be an interesting episode because it's going to be boozy. Mm-hmm. Want to shout out our dear friend Ashley, who is a listener. Ashley has been a friend of mine since our days at Disney. Worked together at another job, two jobs together actually after that. So we've worked at three companies together. So shout out Ashley. When you're listening to this, shoot me a text and let me know how embarrassed you are. And by embarrassed, I mean just glowing with pride that two world famous podcast hosts were saying your name because they love you deeply. One more than the other.
I think I met this person.
I believe you did. Yes. Anyways, so what are you drinking tonight, Kelsey?
I've got my favorite, a classic.
Ooh!
A Miller Lite.
This episode is brought to you by Miller
Alcohol.
Lite.
Miller and Lite, come on the show.
How the fuck do I get this shit off?
Did you have a, is it a screw top?
No.
I was like, what if this is like you need a corkscrew? Carmen's trying to open an entire bottle of wine, guys.
Oh, wait. Here we go. Listen.
Ooh, that was nice. That was nice.
Nice C-sharp major. And here we go. Listen to this.
Hey, it's the Buzz Buzz honey drink.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my.
I should have just drank right out of the fucking
you
bottle.
You really should have.
Okay, after I'm done with this glass, I'm just drinking out of the bottle the rest of the night. So, cheers, friend.
Cheers. Clink.
Clink, 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 clink. Oh, I just spilled on my Mac!
Carmen's dumb, you guys.
Oh, I'm dumb. Says the woman who had her read receipts on for the last
Only
forever.
For Carmen. I only had read receipts on for Carmen, and when he told me, I thought he was lying. And then he had to send me a screenshot, and I was wildly embarrassed, and I thought they were on for everybody, but thank God they were only on for Carmen, but I turned them off.
Yeah, turn them off like a jerk.
I cannot have people knowing that I read their text messages.
Yeah, I could not have that shit as well. I am terrible, because what I do is I'll read a text, and then I'll respond 4 days later, and I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry.
Or so. Never. I'm like, yeah, if it's past 24 hours, then it's too late. I can't respond.
I respond regularly in the 24-hour plus period.
You're pretty good about responding, at least to me. I guess I'm just a priority.
You and I have business. That's like Jessica.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with our friendship. Great. Thanks. Yeah. Jessica is so bad at texts.
Jessica's terrible at texts. I have to call her like 4 or 5 times. And she's like, what, is it an emergency? And I'm like, no, but I thought you were dead. So whatever. Anyways, Grey's Academy.
And Anatomy. Okay, so we're not doing the music part, guys. It's the same song title as last time. If you want to listen to the
Wait,
info.
What?
If you want to listen to the
info. No, it's not. What episode did I watch?
It's the same one.
You're right.
I know. You and your jokes. oh my. I'm making what? Faces at Carmen. I don't know.
Yeah, you are.
Just making faces. Okay.
I'm so drunk.
Okay. If you have just got a notification about heavy sighs.
What?
It says, long exhales of breath have often been associated with frustration or even despair, but a recent study shows that sighing is actually good for you. I do that a lot. Mainly out of frustration.
To me?
Yeah, because you're frustrating.
Oh, interesting. All right, episode. We have episode things to talk about.
So if this you want to listen to the song, it was Crash to Me. It was Dave Matthews. You can go back an episode, two episodes, to the part one of part one. And listen to Carmen talk about it. We also will not have a Shondaland because it's the same as last time. Okay. This is episode 10 of the fourth season, the 71st episode overall, Crash Into Me Part 2. Still written by Krista Viernoff and Shonda Rhimes, but different director. It was directed by Jessica Yu, who we have seen prior. It aired December 6th, so I think there was like a 2-week gap. In between the last
Can you imagine having to wait 2 weeks?
No,
Does
I don't
Seth
need
Green
to imagine.
Live?
I literally just did it in real life when I was in high school. I was 17. What a time. What a time. Do you remember being 17 and like thinking that anything you were doing was important? Because it was not.
Well, the problem is that everything that I did at 17 was important.
Yeah, I bet that's true. And here we are. In the same place.
I had this conversation with someone at work the other day, and they're like, man, I just want to go to college and get my degree and end up successful like you, Carmen. And I was like, I'm going to pump the brakes.
Buddy, do I have news for you.
I'm going to pump the fucking brakes right here. I ain't got
no
degree. Luckily, 17-year-old Carmen decided that.
Yeah, that worked out for him.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Off and on.
Also, okay. I went on a shopping spree at Fabletics.
Oh my god.
Oh my, I love their pants, but these ones that I got were the 5-inch shorts and they're unlined, so like my dick and balls are just hanging. They're just floating. They're on the floor.
Yeah. Oh.
All of them.
I need to legally separate myself from you as a human being.
The stupidest thing is I said they're floating.
That is not the stupidest thing you said.
Which part was what I said? Dick and balls.
The stupidest part was when you started talking and then you just like kept going.
It started out really strong.
Had 17.78 million views, so 3 million more than last time. So everyone was like, guys, you got to watch this episode. Seth Green is exploding. Okay, the Netflix synopsis. Meredith furiously works to save the life of a paramedic trapped inside an ambulance, and Lexi holds a patient's life in her hands. Mostly, right? They left out Bailey.
And they left out
and Sloan and Alex and Christina and everyone else in the cast.
Bailey and Tucker and a whole Nazi thing. Yeah. Everything. All right. How do we want to start this? Because this really was intense. And I didn't even write notes for the recap because I'm like, fuck it. It's about to happen. I have nothing.
The recap literally was only about the last episode. And what was bonkers to me is in the recap, they did not put Rose and Derek. And I thought, surely that will be in this recap. And it was not. But it was the ambulance crash, the swastika, Ray and Stan, Mary, Ava, Lexi, Alex, Meredith and Derek, Izzy, her patients, Nick and the artery. So that was basically the recap.
Yeah. And the last half a second was Seth Green saying, I like you. And then his head exploding out of his neck, which I thought was funny because it just went from two scenes almost in the blink of an eye.
I was sad for him. Yeah, like, also, that's, like, how it picks up, right? It's, like, his artery blows. And then, like, it takes a long time to get back to him.
That is not at all how I expected the episode to start back up. I thought it would start back up with Lexi's hands just dug right into his neck.
Yeah, it does like a flash takes a while forward to get there. To the end of the day and shows us clips of the ends of all these end scenes from these storylines.
Yeah, and they pull a little bit of a Night Shyamalan with that.
Little twisteroo.
Yeah.
So yeah, it starts showing us Christina and Meredith dancing it out, Alex making out with Ava and like not talking to her, Christina being nice to Lexi, Callie sitting with Mark, George and Izzy laying on the bed together. And then Meredith telling Derek that she doesn't want him to date anyone else, and then Weber just kind of like standing over the crash as it's cleaned up. And then as they're on that shot of them like taking the ambulances away, it like comes around him. It's very cinematic. And it cuts from being nighttime to like back to the day where he's in the same spot. Like all the stuff is like still like going to shit.
He's also still standing there to this day. He has not moved.
Yes. And I'm bummed out that was spoiled for you, because he has been in that spot every single episode since season 4.
Well, let me tell you, I actually went on a Grey's Reddit page today, and I know everything about this show. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I know nothing.
Oh, my God. No. About to be wow. So mad.
I had you
Did
fooled
you
for a
that
second.
In my yeah. eyes.
No, here's the thing. I've been telling a lot of people lately about the Grey's podcast, because I've been meeting a lot of new people with this new job, and they're like, oh, like, tell me about yourself. Well, I got a couple podcasts. They're like, oh, what is it about? And I'm like, well, do you watch Grey's Anatomy? And they either say, no, I never watched it. Or they go, oh my gosh, yes. Are you at the, and I'm like, please stop. Just please stop now. Because it's not what you think. I've never seen it. Stop. And then one girl today was like, oh, listen, no, I don't know anything about the show. All I know is that Katherine Heigl was on it. And then I'm like, I need you to stop right there. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be rude. But whatever you're about to say next, I just don't want to risk it. Like, don't.
You can get caught up to where we are in the podcast by listening and giving us your patronship. And then you can discuss with me where we are currently.
Yeah.
That's only the only talk safe way to do it.
That's the only safe way to do it. It's so true.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, yeah, I actually, I like the way they did it looking back on it. It wasn't what I was expecting, but I like the way they did the intro, and it kind of went through the flashbacks, and then it came back in, and then you hit the flashbacks on the way out at the end of the episode. I really did enjoy that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. You pick back up, but you get like the whole scene, like not just the clip, like the pan out and the big picture of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a good episode. You want to rate it or?
Yeah, let's call it a day. Let's just, this is it. And this is the shortest episode in Grey's history.
Yes.
Let's start with Ray. You want to start with Ray? Is that good with you?
I do want to start with Ray. And I truly was like, why would we talk about Star Wars just now when you said that? Truly.
You mean you're, oh, wait, hold on, hold on.
Okay. Okay.
We're taking a picture. That's all. That dead air silence. We love that dead air silence.
That's
only when it's
content.
Picture taking. This is an audio podcast. Okay, so Ray. The saddest part of all of Ray's storyline is he's like, Meredith, can you just like close Stan's eyes for me?
Yeah, that
this
was a bummer.
This dude's dead right here.
Yeah, she's like laying on top of a dead person.
Completely.
They like
on
do
him.
Not address that. That is unpleasant.
Well, there's 14 million people who caught up 3 million people and were like, listen, she's going to be on this dead guy. It's okay. Tonight at midnight when this episode re-airs with part one, you need to watch it. He dies. very sad. Very tragic. But he's a hero. Remember that. He's a hero.
He is. It's so true.
What notes do you have for Ray? What? Because the big thing with me, with Ray, that I... he progressively got more hysterical towards the end of last episode. And through this episode, he basically was kind of like, Meredith, I need you to do a good job. And also, are they talking about me? Am I going to die? This is great. I hate it. And obviously, he's under a lot of stress. The dude's been hanging upside down for hours, probably in real time, too, because he's an actor and this isn't CGI'd. But the whole Meredith situation, she really does. I mean, she goes above and beyond because she's inside the ambulance with this guy for
and she's like talking him down and she's like, hey, I'm also scared, you know, what if this, we're gonna get through it together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, she's going in to help. She's like on shattered glass.
Well, she has to get stitches afterwards, which
I know,
that's crazy. I have a very low pain tolerance. I'd be like, listen, Weber, you got to get in there. Ray needs you. I'm out. It
couldn't be me.
There's broken glass everywhere. I cannot do this.
So yeah, she has to have stitches. Well, she comes out and Weber's like, you're bleeding. And she's like, nah, nah, it's everyone else's blood. And I'm like, he's like, no, you need, literally need stitches. She's like, oh, cool, cool, cool. Yeah. So there's not probably the least amount to say, shockingly, with this storyline.
It was very intense, but like there wasn't a lot.
Very upsetting.
Oh yeah.
I don't mind needles that much. Like I have tattoos. I can, as long as I don't, if I like need to get blood taken or like get a shot, as long as I'm not like looking at it going in, I'm fine. But like that thing was too big. No, no, thank you. I did not care for that at all.
18 gauge. Even Ray was like, yeah, that's a big ass needle, Meredith. And Meredith's
that's
like,
the biggest one.
I don't know what to tell you. Your heart's going to explode without it. Han said so.
Yep. Here we all are. So yeah. And Han, I like when Meredith kind of puts her in her place. She's like, can you read the room? Can you shut the fuck up right now? Could you do that for us, please? So yeah. And then, the whole thing, like, with the wife, do you want to touch on that? Like, where he's like, tell Sarah that I'm sorry, that, like, and I'm like, you didn't do anything, man. Like, are you sorry that, like, you're the one that didn't die or that survived? Or, like,
that's the way I interpreted it. There's a survivor's remorse, I would imagine, with a lot of these situations, especially because they're partners. And, I don't know enough about the partnership relationship of paramedics and EMTs and how often you work together. If it's like that of police officers where
like
you're literally
all the time.
Yeah. Like that is your partner. You don't, oh, who am I going to be partnered with today? Who's my buddy? Also, I don't know why that was really Kermit-y. I apologize, everyone. who's my partner today?
Miss Piggy, I'll be.
Yeah, ooh, I would fuck her. Kermit, okay. Shut the fuck up. This is a family show. I'm sorry. Did somebody say Megan? No, I'm done.
I am going to divorce this podcast.
So there's a lot of survivor's remorse. Also, anyone who hasn't listened to Dude Thoughts, that last 30 seconds is going to be like, what the fuck is happening? apologies. I like the scene where Meredith is like, hey, Sarah, this sucks. I understand that your dead husband's ghost is now hanging out with Denny Duquette in this hospital and a girl from a train with a pole inside of her. I understand that. But you need to be there for Ray.
Yeah.
What was your take on that, reseeing this from like when you originally saw it, maybe?
The sentiment, I understand. I understand what she's saying, but like that Sarah is straight up like, my husband is dead in this hospital and you just want me to like stay here.
Like, it's a little intense.
I'm just like, well, you're going to, and Meredith's like, well, you're going to go home and have no one. I would be like, no, I'm going to go home and have friends and family.
Like, and alcohol. Like,
and like a lot of crying in my bed. I don't know. I mean, obviously like for the drama of it, whatever, but it wasn't. It's nice that like they were there for each other, but also I'm like, really, Ray has no one ever, really?
Have we not called anyone over the last 6 days while we've been having this man hang upside down? We didn't call anyone.
I know, right? He doesn't have parents or siblings, or Stan was his only friend. Like,
that was it. If you go to Ray's Facebook page, it's literally one.
Just Stan. His MySpace friend ranking was easy to accomplish.
He still uses his Nokia FA5. The thing about that I really didn't like is Meredith kind of bullies Sarah into saying, like, I'm scared, so you have to be scared, too.
Yeah.
It leveled with Ray. it levels with Ray, where he's like, I'm fucking scared. And she's like, yeah, dude, me too. It calms him down. But like, Sarah is, she just has to do it. She's grieving in a totally different way that Ray was. So yeah, I didn't really love that. That Weber and her have a nice moment at the end where she's like, yeah, that was impressive. Like, you did really good work. I know that you were scared. That's what makes it more impressive. But also, you have to get stitches, and I'm going to do it right here, apparently. I'm just going to clean your wound and do it right here, standing next to you while talking to you.
Yeah.
Those are really all the notes I got for Ray. Anything else you got? Anything you want to add?
That was pretty much it. Yeah, I did really like the line that Weber has when he's like, it's good to be scared. It means you still have something to lose or something like that. I like that line a lot.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the end, when he's talking to Meredith, he's like, you did a good job today.
And she did good. There was a couple of times where she was, like, doing too much with the needle, which, obviously, the needle is 5 feet long. It's hard not to do.
Digging around with that. Like, it's yucky.
Insane. All right. Where to next, friend?
Let's talk about Izzy and Han. They're kind of back and forth between patients. Because they're working on Mr. Nolston, and then they get paged out to Ray. I am gonna have a burp, maybe. I don't know, this beer, man. It's hitting me funny.
Are you drunk? There it is.
Podcast.
I hope you brought a second one.
What a lady. No, this is my last one. I'm very sad.
Get another drink. Get a seltzy.
Carmen, the only ones I have in my house are those Topo Chico fucking pieces of garbage.
Topo Chico is shit.
I don't mind the, like, just sparkling water. I really don't. But, like, I grabbed one of those, like, the pineapple seltzer. I wish Michael had been filming me. I was like, when I drank it. It was offensive. You know, well, I don't like to waste beverages or food, but I was like, I physically am unable to consume this.
I've got a whole bottle of cinnamon honey mead to drink, so you better get another drink.
I don't have another one, bud.
I don't care if you have to choke down a Topo Chico.
I don't give a fuck. Okay, that's fine that you don't. I'm not doing it.
I'm going to hack into your phone and put on the red receipts for me again and not tell you.
If you lived here, you could bully me into drinking alcohol, but you don't. So here we are.
Interesting. Says the person who could move to Chicago.
I would never. Interesting. No one likes the cold. You don't like the cold.
I love the cold.
You don't like the snow.
I love the snow.
You are a liar.
I love that you think that I'm a liar.
You, well, good, because I do. Okay.
Okay, what are we talking about?
So Han.
Yes, Han.
And Izzy. So Izzy's with Han on this case with Mr. Jacob Nolston. And he has some kind of heart thing and also the thing in his leg that Callie's dealing with. And also Mark is there for whatever in the chest cavity. And they're like,
and Callie. Everyone is there.
Well, Callie's there for the thing in the leg.
Oh, that's right.
Mark's there for the thing in the chest cavity. And so they're doing the surgery and, like, it's going okay. And then they're like, cool, we can, like, wrap it up and everyone else wants to use this OR. But she gets paged to Ray, obviously, because he has pericardial synthesis.
Photosynthesis.
Yeah. And so...
pericardio photosynthesis.
And while they're out there and she's like walking Meredith through what she needs to do, they get paged back because some, like, his heart graft just, like, stopped being a thing. Like, it blew, I think they said.
Totally ruptured. Yeah.
I assume that's bad. Assume nothing with your heart. It should be functional. It should be intact.
Well, you look at all the blood they got on Alex. It was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just busy irrigating. He's like, I'm just irrigating. Sloan told me to irrigate.
Yeah. And Ava, Rebecca is still up in the gallery just looking down on that shenanigans. So Han comes back in. This is I don't mind Han so much in this episode. I feel like
Han has an arc.
She's genuine. What I like that this episode does for Han is it shows us that she is just who she is. Like, nothing we've seen so far is like an act she's putting on. Like, she's just this person. She is just this is her truest self. her authentic self.
Yeah.
And she is hard on herself, and Sloane calls that out. He's like, it's interesting that you're as mean to yourself as you are to everybody else. Because she's really hard on herself when for not like catching the infection on the graft that blew. And I also really like when she calls out Mark and she's like, if you were homely, you'd have lost your job, but because you're attractive, no one fires you for saying the shit you say. Which is valid and probably true.
Do you have it written down of what he said
before that?
Yeah. Because I didn't feel like it was as egregious as some of the other shit that he had said last episode. And
No, it definitely wasn't. I think it was just piling on. And it's also one of those things where, like, if you like the words you say written down aren't that bad, but it's like the delivery and the intonation and like the and the whatever faces you're making. Because I do think it was something about like complimenting her technique or whatever. And he's like, oh, I can't compliment your technique. And she's like, oh, you're going to play dumb now? Like, does that work for you? Is it because you're attractive that it works that you play dumb? So, yeah.
There was a scene, too, with Han and Izzy where they were walking out to originally to Rey. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, and Izzy said that she wanted to check in on the family. She wanted to touch base with the kids.
Yeah, this whole storyline was...
It was kind of intense, and it comes back, and unfortunately, Izzy pays the price with the way that the mom totally low-roads her at the end of the episode, because, spoiler alert, we didn't say this, but Rey lives, Rey lives. Jacob lives.
Mr. Nelson lives,
yeah.
Mary lives, and Shane lives.
Yes, so I was wrong, I thought everyone would die, but I called Seth Green died.
I think you said Mr. Nelson was going to live, but I think you did say everyone else was going to die.
Yeah. The thing with the family where Izzy's like, I want to go check up on them. And Han was like, okay, you need to figure out your shit. Go be a social worker because it's 2 years of, school, not 12. And I think that's the first time that anyone really has been like, Izzy,
prioritize,
shut the fuck up. Go do this if you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little harsh. But you can be like a grief counselor in a hospital who's gone through a lot of stuff as a doctor. You can get a doctorate in that, I'm sure. There's a lot of things you can do. Mm-hmm. You could be a social worker and have a doctorate in your social work, whatever. But she does want to have the best soft skills out of everyone in the group, which is fine. But Han obviously doesn't see that as a skill. And then
have to remember the timing of this specific thing, because this is when they are running back and forth. Like, Ray's hanging upside down. They, like, Mr. Nelson's still in the...
Yeah.
And because she does say in that, she's like, you can update the family when the crisis has passed. So I will say, if she had made those comments, like, in the OR, if Izzy was like, hey, are you okay? Like, can I step out and update them? And Han responded that way, I would be like, that's unnecessary. But because they are in the middle of like being pulled several different ways and it is actually a matter of life and death for everybody, I kind of think it is a little more valid. It's important. It's just important to remember that for the sake of the context of the scenario, because she does say that she's like, yeah, you can update them like when we're done, like putting out all these fires, like 8 people are dying right now and we are responsible. So I do think that's worth noting. Izzy does prioritize soft skills more than any of the other doctors, obviously. Like, George and Meredith care about them, but it's not a priority. Alex and Christina do not give a flying fuck about soft skills.
At all.
None.
Yeah.
Zero whatsoever. And so what I don't like is the way this wife reacts. Like, I have horrendous anxiety. Like, I am medicated, it's bad. Like, I understand having anxiety and like being panicked in that situation. I've never had to be there when Michael was having a heart surgery. Luckily, I have had to be there when other members of my family were having heart surgery, and I cannot imagine speaking so poorly to the person like responsible for saving them.
Never, like, in a million years. No,
it's just also like, I don't care what anyone, like, just, I'm not, don't be rude to people. I think it's just from working in like the hospitality and service industry for so long. Like, I'm just going to try my hardest not to be rude to someone, because chances are at least two other people have already been really rude to them that day.
Yeah. So
I just don't want to be the story that person tells about, like, listen to this bitch. You know what
also,
I mean?
Also, Izzy wasn't really being rude. She wasn't being confrontational. She's like, I just don't know.
She's like,
I don't have an update.
Like, yeah, she probably was like, oh, I can go find out. And the woman's like, no.
You,
get away
if you don't
from
know,
my family, you're killing
if you don't
us.
Know, if you don't know right now off the top of your head, I will file a sexual harassment lawsuit, like, and a racial discrimination profiling
suit. Here's the
suit.
Thing, also, when Izzy first, and she's like, when she says like really hateful things, like, did you have a bad teacher who didn't teach you how to be a good doctor, or do you have bad parents who didn't teach you how to be a good person? Like, what? That's
a hard jump, lady.
That is 0 to 100 really fucking fast. Very unnecessary, and I don't care for it.
That's like, imagine me helping someone at work, and they're like, you have this shoe out of stock in my size? What, do you come from a terrible home? Well, yes, but...
Yeah, I was about to say, you'd have the leg up, because you'd be like, well, actually, my dad...
And my mom. No. But yeah, so mean. And then at the end of the episode, like, the guy pulls through. Alex is with him.
Yeah.
She goes in to check, and the lady's like, we don't need
There's
your kind around
no
here.
No reconciliation.
None.
This woman has no repercussions for being hateful. Like, I understand. And then also, like, I'm not going to say the woman was being dramatic. But when she, this is a very throwaway thing. I only noticed it because I had subtitles on. After she first yells at Izzy, and Izzy goes to leave, and she goes to the nurse's station, she goes, my husband is Jacob Nolson. He went into surgery hours ago. Can you find someone who can tell me if he's dead or alive? I was like, okay. They would tell you if he was dead. Okay.
Yeah.
Literally, they would tell you if he was dead. Okay.
The sad thing, too, is that little girl has to see her parents,
yes.
her mom, being a dick to Izzy. So now that little kid is going to grow up thinking it's okay to be a dick to someone named
yeah.
Izzy, who's a blonde doctor at a hospital where her future husband is going to be having surgery and no one knows the answer.
Exactly.
The cycle begots
the cycle.
Itself.
It's cyclical, guys. It's cyclical. Don't be a dick.
Do be nice.
Yes, please.
Out here doobying.
Oh, sorry. I bumped the desk. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, you know what we can get into. Wait, what do you have to add?
I was just going to say, do we want to just talk about all of the Han storylines here so far?
Yeah, I was actually going to say Izzy and George, but we can finish up with Han
first.
No,
let's talk Izzy and George, because this shit is fucking dumb. I'm glad that
so
you told me that they were broken up last episode.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting to see how they wrap it up. But then when they do the flashback, I'm like, they're fucking cuddling.
Yeah.
And then they end with dancing. And they're like, I love you. Let's dance. But also, we should see other people.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just like, let's go ahead and we'll force skip our awkward stage. And just right into the, we're friends again. No worries.
And the writing room was like, hey, guys, we got nothing. Should we just skip it? And they go, all in favor, and everyone's hand goes, skip it. Make them dance.
Dance it out, guys.
Dance it out. What did
you
have to
nice
say?
Because, you know, Izzy's really always annoyed that Christina and Meredith are friends. So I did like that she was invited into the circle. So it was nice of Meredith to extend that to her.
I agree. It was a nice end
included.
Scene. I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
Because Lexi was there. And Lexi's like, I just want a drink because this guy who's hitting on me died. And he, like.
Let me say, they had to kill him because their chemistry was too good. Like,
too
if he
good.
Hadn't lived, he would have to come back because they would have had to date.
Yeah.
Their chemistry was too good. Like, it was, I mean, and he was just laying in a bed the whole time. And their chemistry was about 256 times better than George and Izzy's. So
I will say, while George and Izzy did have chemistry, Lexi and what's his name? Dr.
Nick.
Evil? Scott?
Nick? Close.
Scott Evil? Scotty New! I'm number two.
Okay, this is how the episode gets long.
Oh. I don't know what I was saying. I've drank half this bottle of wine so far. Nick should come back as another character years later and see Lexi and go, do I know you? And she goes, do I know you? And then they part ways and they never see each other again.
Well, they part ways because maybe they'll have a seance and they'll call back every person who's ever died at the hospital.
Well, he's for sure stuck with Denny in the afterlife.
You think so? And Dylan?
Yeah. So we're going to get a flashback with Seth, Dylan, and Denny. They're going to do another flashback episode. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Fuck. Okay. Yes, they had chemistry. End scene. Very cute. Except for the part where George and Izzy are dancing. What does it mean that I don't think it's our chemistry, it's our timing? Then you just be together longer and you give the time itself to figure it out. I don't get that. You just told each other you loved each other. Just stay together at that point.
But they don't have chemistry.
He said we have chemistry.
Yeah. He was like, don't worry. It's not because we don't have chemistry. It's just the timing. The timing is bad because we're together all the time and we already live in the same house. So it's really difficult to be in a relationship. It's definitely not the chemistry. It's the timing.
I got to sneeze somewhere up here.
Up in your nostril there. Anyways, nope. George and Izzy don't have chemistry. And now they're not together anymore.
I predict that before the end of season four, they get back together.
Okay.
The timing will be different.
They did say someday, maybe. And they both seemed super enthusiastic about it. So
they were sad. Get off their back. Izzy's going to leave the show before they get back together. They will never get together again. Official prediction.
We are never, ever. So who do you think George and Izzy will sleep with next?
George is going to sleep with Callie.
Sloan.
Han. And then he's going to rub it in Mark's face and say, remember when you fucked my wife before we were married? I fucked Han. And then Han's going to bring Addison back, and George, Addison, and Han are going to have a threesome.
You actually have to start watching Private Practice very soon.
I know. I miss her. Does she come back? Like, is that who comes back?
Yeah, like there's a crossover episode in like four episodes. That's why we literally have to watch a lot of Private Practice very quickly.
How many episodes do I need to watch?
I think like 11.
What the 14. Fuck, Kelsey?
Carmen, I've been saying we have to watch it.
But that's different than giving me an exact schedule of when to watch by and how many episodes. I thought we needed three
mother.
Episodes. Yeah, but you're my partner.
Yeah. And
is now a time to talk. What's the equivalent of a swastika tattoo on my stomach, but for anti-white women?
Okay.
Specifically named Kelsey.
I think it's probably just, never mind. I'm not going to say that. okay. Let me double check. But yeah, you got it. What you have those really long drives. You don't need to watch it. You can just listen to the.
I need to watch it.
Nah. You good.
What I need to do is get a job where I could take the train every day.
Shout out Alicia, who sent me an email with literally every single Grey's and Private Practice crossover episodes for my own reference. And that's what I am now referencing. So in episode 13 of Grey's Anatomy, she is back.
13 of what? Season 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like literally tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
Alicia, shout out. Thank you. Okay, yeah, anything else with Izzy and George? I feel like George
Thank
was spending
God
a lot of his time this episode
say.
With Tucker. So
he did spend a lot of time with Tucker.
Him and Izzy's time together was very small. There was a scene where Izzy was like, I'm never going to be Christina. I'm never going to be Han. I'm never going to be hardcore. And George is like, good. When maybe he should have been like, I'm not going to say anything right now. This is just your time to vent. It's okay. Mm-hmm. But it was a good scene because that's when she's like, I love you. And he's like, yeah, I love you too, but we should break up. And that's fine. It's whatever. I'm glad they're finally done.
Yeah. All good. Goodbye. Good riddance. Jesus Christ. That was awful.
The only thing was important about their storyline is that I was correct, because I'm always right.
I knew you were going to say that. I was like, the worst part about them being together is that you were right about it. But I did a good job misleading you for a long time.
You literally did not. You failed 99% of the time. And 1% of the time I was like, well, maybe. 1% of the time I was like, well, maybe. And then the next day I was right, because I'm a fucking genius.
Izzy was like, you've made a terrible mistake. And you were like, they can definitely not sleep together after that. And that is exactly when they slept together.
Yeah. Got to stick to my guns from now on. Still waiting for Thatcher to ride in on a horse in the hospital.
Well, he can't drive. He's too drunk.
Alice, my pants!
Alice, my pants!
Okay. My pants!
So, did you have anything else about Han?
At the I end, like her.
When she comes in and she's like, I understand that this is going to be weird, but will you guys be my friends?
Yeah, it's nice. It's sweet. I like that she did that. And also, Callie has to be a translator for both Han and Mark. Because she's like, Mark.
I love Callie. Callie's separate from George and also not being chief resident. She's like back on top, man.
She's so
good.
She's back
in her game. She's back being a good surgeon. She's back being a good teacher. Like, she was on it when they were like, she was like, I'm done here. What do you need me to do? And he's like, get this and this and this. And she's like, I'm getting it. And you know what? Good on her. She's like,
she got it.
Where she needs her head is in the right spot. And I love that for her.
Yeah. George ruined it. Izzy ruined it for her. And then Weber ruined it for her, too, by giving her a job that he knew he should have given to Bailey. Yep. Anyways, so, yeah, it's funny because she goes in and she's talking to Callie and Mark. And Callie's like, or Mark's like, why the fuck on earth would I do that? And Callie's like, I'm going to raise my hand very gently here. She needs a friend. And... she's like, it's so funny because she's like, if I say yes, do you promise not to hit on me? And he's like, I can't promise that. And she's like, what if I say please? And Callie is like, it's Han. He just can't promise
that. He cannot promise it.
And that is just so funny. That to me stole the whole episode. And she's like, he just can't. I can't. And I know him. He can't. We fucked. It's going to work.
I you know him in bang. The biblical sense.
That's all I got for her.
Like,
anything you
problematic
got
in reality, but it's fine. I love Mark Sloan, but like, we're not going to look too much into it. Sometimes you just have to think, you know what? It is what it is. We're going to look past it.
You know, he was in Burlesque.
I did not know that. Did you recently watch that because they added it to Netflix?
No,
it keeps coming up on my Netflix.
The TikTok videos where they make fun of cheerleader girls who say, my name is so-and-so and I'm going to this college. And then they do like the mascot
That's
thing.
That's the sorority.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But they do that. And Jessica was saying, you should do this video on TikTok where you just make fun of Christina Aguilera in Burlesque in this scene. And I was like, okay, but I need this two-piece outfit. And I think Mark Sloan is in that movie, I think.
Couldn't tell you. I can get on that. You cannot IMDb it.
No.
Because of spoilies.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil Burlesque is what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, it would tell me how many episodes Mark is in. I should look.
That's why I told you not to do it.
Okay.
Okay, so
next topic. Tell us the next topic.
Well, he is in Burlesque. His name is Marcus. How interesting.
Slonus. Marcus Slonus.
Marcus Slonus. Carmen's drunk, guys.
This is the problem when you work 10-hour days and you drive two of them.
Yeah, that's trash.
And then you're already half a bottle in of honey mead. With an alcohol content of 26%. What the? I'm kidding. It's like 5%.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
Oh, no, okay. It's 10%. It is double digits, though.
We love to see it because that stuff's not. It's not that expensive and it's tasty. It goes down easy.
Mm-hmm. Smooth like honey mead.
Okay. So what else? Let's get all the big stuff. We'll save the big stuff for last. So let's see what else.
Well, then let's do this.
Dunhan.
Hold on. If we're going to do that, home stretch, let's go ahead and take a quick moment for a message from our regional sponsors. And we are back.
That
we're
was
back.
So nice of them.
Thank you so much, regional sponsors.
We love you. We also all love right. you, listeners. Sorry about ads.
It's true.
But we need them because they pay us. Okay. So this episode is just like choppy. It's good, but it's just like all over the place. Like, you know how a lot of episodes, like it's peak Grays, we're like at the climactic moment, right? Like they're jumping from surgery to surgery. And we do have that in this episode.
The but montage.
I felt like that was the vibe the whole episode, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not necessarily in a bad way, but like also not in a great way. Anyways, okay.
There was never just a downtime to make it seem more intense. It was just so intense the entire time that it was like, I'm kind of bored.
Oh, that's fair. Okay, so Derek. Let's talk about Derek and Mary and Rose and Steve. So, and the... excuse me. At the end of the last episode, Derek's monitors...
Who's Steve?
...went out.
Oh,
Steve is the intern.
I get it.
Yeah, intern Steve. And so they're, like, looking. Steve goes to the nurse's station to make a call for, like, IT people because the IT person for the company is in Spokane, which is 5 hours away. Which doesn't feel helpful. And so then Rose
didn't
is
I
like,
tell you? Didn't I predict that?
Yeah, but also like anyone could have predicted that. Anyone
didn't
who's ever
I
tried to get any
correctly
kind of IT help.
You guys see how she minimizes my correct predictions by trying to make it seem like they're easy? Listen, Shondaland knows no easiness.
Yeah, everyone's definitely on my side. Anyways, okay.
Oh.
So oh, so
yes.
Yes, Derek. Fucking Derek. Okay, so Rose says, before I switched to nursing, I did 3 semesters of computer science. And she's like, maybe I can, like, I don't know a lot, but if it's something, you know, pretty easy, I can at least give it a shot. And he's like, well, I do really like this part. He says, I'd feel better if your voice wasn't shaking. And she says, my voice shakes when I'm nervous. I'm an imperfect person.
That is so funny.
Call him
like
out,
she
bitch.
Owns it.
Call him out. You know what? Shut the fuck up, Derek. Don't be a turd.
Also,
get off your goddamn God complex and come down here with the rest of us. She's trying to help you.
Also, how many trout have you eaten, murderer? trout murderer. No trout about it. Am I right? Thank you. Thank you. The thing that's Derek's kind of like, all right, guys. Rose, perfect. 3 semesters. I also took 3 semesters times 100 to be a neurosurgeon. Like, he's kind of a pompous douche.
Well,
he comes
no
around.
It's kind of like why I don't like him at all as a person.
Yeah. He's
kind
like
of my whole personality.
Anyone could beat 3 semesters.
Yeah,
should
and
be
then
easy.
He
should
then
be easy
like,
to beat.
Oh, Santa Rose, that's a party school. And she goes, do you want to insult my education or do you want me to fucking help you? Like, good on Rose. Good on Rose. Get it, girl.
It is funny. But it's funny because he's like, all right, who's going to have a hard time beating this 3 semesters? And then no one does. And he's like, oh, well, fuck. Now you have to help me. I'm screwed. But she fixes it. She wins. She's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He reconnects the wires because, of course, he still has to be involved. It has to actually be him because he's like the way that he is. So... they fix it. They save the patient. Mary's going to be fine, which is good news. We stan. We don't want her to die. Tell me your feelings about their kissing.
I like it. I think they have good chemistry. I think it came on the heels of an actually kind of like a cute, funny scene because mm-hmm. she's like, man, you saved that woman's life. And he's like, I didn't save her life. I just... gave her all motor function back. I was very incredible. I made sure that she would have an incredible quality of life. And I am impressive under stressful situations. But no, you, Rose, you saved her life.
I'm so humble and important.
Yeah. I like their chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who's listened to any of my opinions on Derek knows that I really don't care about him and Meredith. I don't. I don't feel Chandler and Monica about Derek and Meredith. I don't feel Ross and Rachel about Derek and Meredith.
Ross sucks.
Ross
Maybe
sucks.
I do feel Ross and Rachel because, man, does Derek suck.
I like Ross and Rachel together. I hate Ross by himself. Oh,
I actually
it's the opposite.
Hate them together.
Oh, I like them together.
But he's
but like,
such a piece of garbage.
He is a piece of garbage.
How dare you not call me and tell me all... I'm just coming to where you work to set your desk on fire. Why aren't you grateful?
We were on a break. You know who really got shafted is Joey and Phoebe should have ended up together, but she got Paul Rudd, so I guess, you know.
Here's the thing. I don't need them to end up together because I need Hollywood to accept that platonic friendships are a thing.
True.
And by putting them together, I feel like they're saying you cannot have platonic friendships. Everyone eventually falls in love with each other. And that's not how I feel. I mean, I feel like you and I are very good examples of platonic friendships existing.
Yes.
For long periods of time.
And this is why we're going to end up in Hollywood, because we have to break
Hollywood
the cycle.
Kid. Okay.
But yeah, so I think they have good chemistry. I like them together. I know that
She's
they're not
like,
going to end up together.
She could not be more different than Meredith, which obviously I think is intentional. Like, they're like, this is essentially the anti-Meredith in a lot of ways.
Yes. It's a bummer that seconds later after like their mouth fuck, which also Rose is like, thanks, bye.
Yeah, I love her. Oh, thanks, bye. I love that.
So funny. But then Meredith's like, hey, let me spill my guts out to you. And then I don't want you to say anything. I'm going to go away. And Derek just like smiles and nods and is like,
do you think he was about to tell her? Because he starts to talk and she cuts him off. Do you think he was about to tell her what happened?
I don't know.
Okay. I also don't know.
I don't
truly.
I don't feel that Derek really knows what's going on in his head. Derek, to this point, in my head, I think the North Star of Derek Shepherd that they gave to Patrick Dempsey as his inner monologue and his motivation is Derek doesn't actually know what he wants, and he talks a big game.
Mm-hmm.
Because he keeps saying, Meredith, I just want you to, I know what I want, but it sounds like you don't know what you want. It sounds like coming from the words of a guy who doesn't actually know what he wants.
He might know what he wants, but he doesn't know how to have it. Like, he wanted to be with Meredith, but all he had to say is like, hey, I just went through this really bad thing in New York. I feel like I'm in a place where I'm ready to date, but my wife might show up and be incredibly stunningly beautiful and talented. Just a heads up.
Yeah. So. And she may be so stunningly beautiful and talented that it makes you look like a piece of garbage. But
I
it's
just
okay.
think that, like, he does know what he wants. I just think that he thinks he shouldn't have to put in any effort to have it.
Yeah.
Does that track? I feel like that's a good explanation for Derek. He's the kind of person who, like, his whole life, things have just kind of worked out for him in relationships. And so he's like, you know, it's just this. It's like, oh, you meet the girl, you marry the girl, you're with the girl. And then he, like, the girl fucks him over. He's like, I'll just start over. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to do any work. I'll just do it again. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel. Like, he wants it, and he's like, I can just have it. I don't need to do anything. I just get to have it.
The best part of this relationship piece between the two of them, and shout out to Kelsey, because she texted me in an exact timestamp that it didn't click for me. I was just watching and I'm taking notes and I'm watching this for the first time and it gets pretty intense and I miss some things. But after Derek like does the wire things and he has kind of this sweet moment where he's like, Rose, like, you forgot something. Like, take a breath, think this through. And she's like, oh, okay. Oh yeah, the restart button. That's what I forgot. The button. I forgot it. And then he's like, good job. And he pats her on the head like a little condescending puppy. And then he walks away and she goes, Derek. And he goes, yes.
Yes. Guys, if you want, I tried to figure out a way to record it. Maybe I'll try and figure out a way to record it tomorrow and put it on Instagram. Like, I'm going to do my best because it's fucking dumb. This man, I can't.
What did he I straight up is like, oh, how doody-doo. What can I help
Carmen.
You with?
I need you to specifically note how Derek says the word yes at 18 minutes and 51 seconds, because it seriously has me laughing so hard. I was watching it and for some reason I noticed it and it passed and it was like 10 or 20 seconds later. And I was like, did I imagine that? And so I rewound it and I was like, no, that motherfucker just said that so weird. And I think he was just playing into like the flirtiness of like, oh, somebody new. Oh my God. Oh, she's talking to me. But like, guys, if you have a minute to go fucking 18 minutes and 51 seconds, Dr. Shepherd, yes, your gloves or sleeves or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Guys, it's so bizarrely not Derek. It's hilarious. I was laughing out loud, actually.
The funny thing is,
it was
like
unreal.
Poor Steve is like, hey, Derek, can you yes, you're at you can you get your house over here, please? It's just totally like the gravity of the situation is completely thrown out because Derek is like in his little world of going, oh, this girl, she thinks I'm cute.
She likes me. She wants to put her tongue in my mouth. Also, their kiss, like they like really kiss.
They kiss.
They kiss hard.
You know who else kisses hard? Huck and Quinn. Whoa.
Oh, dude.
No spoilies, but she like licks his face and then they mouth
just, like,
fuck.
Lick each other literally all the time. They just like lick every time they kiss. They're like, blah, 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 blah. Like both tongues are out of the mouth and they're touching. It's very Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker.
Incredible. I love it. Yeah, she says, thanks, bye. And that's the notes that I have. That's what I got. I like Rose, though. Call me crazy. I know I said this the last episode. I'm going to reiterate it. I think Rose is more attractive than Meredith.
She seems to have her life together more. We don't know much about her, but she seems to be less traumatized by her childhood.
Yeah, less child of Ellis Gray. Ish.
Yeah. She does seem to not have Ellis and Thatcher as her parents.
Yeah. Anything else you got for Derek and Rose and all of them?
No, I think that's it. So shall we get into the Shane Bailey Tucker of it all?
Let's see. Let me just think. Yeah. So the rest of this episode, I think, pretty much is going to be. Well, we didn't really talk a ton about Seth Green and Lexi.
No, we didn't. We can talk about them.
Let's do that first, and then the rest of the episode we'll talk the basically because that includes Christina, it includes Bailey, George, Tucker, it includes all the rest of the shit in the episode. So yeah, let's talk about Seth Green and Lexi. Nick
and
Lexi.
They finally come back to the storyline, like halfway through the episode, she gets Nick to get the nurse, like call on the phone to the nurse's station, and she tells them what happened. She has them page Christina and Sloan and to call a code blue. And he's like, why would you call a code blue? Like, isn't that what happens when people die? And she's like, my guy. My brother in Christ, I am holding your carotid artery betwixt my fingers. Can you just accept that we might need to call a code blue?
Also, this is on the heels of he's got all these one-liners. He's like, holy crap, my artery blew. Like, your artery's outside of your body, man. Like,
they really wrote this part specifically for Seth Green. And I don't know if they did, but like, I feel like they did because he played it perfectly.
Oh, so good. The scene where they're like, his vein is flaccid, and he's like, that's not
a nice thing to say at all.
Like, guys, I'm trying to impress this girl right here. Don't be out here calling my veins flaccid. Come on. If I make it out of this, good. I'm gonna have a hard time recovering from this setback that you are causing me, good sir.
Like, it was baffling to me that he could possibly lose that much blood and still just be sitting there having conversations. I was like, how are you? Shouldn't you be less conscious and also way less, like, you should be very pale.
Well, Lexi was like, they're putting in as much as you're squirting out, buddy. Like, it's fine.
He's like, are they though? And she's like, probably not, Mike. Like, it's a lot of blood. It's like your entire body of blood.
You got them flaccid veins, bro. And every time you move, you squirt a little blood here and there. And I slip sometimes, and he's like, you need to stop doing
it's
that.
It's like not going great for anybody in that room.
Oh my gosh. Also,
Christina does great under pressure.
She does.
Which is not surprising, obviously.
She's hardcore.
She leaves Bailey's surgery. She's upset. We'll get back to that. She's upset, but she goes to Lexi and she's like, you're doing great. Don't cry. It's not done yet. So don't cry. We're going to be fine. We're going to get him down to the OR and we're going to save him. Unfortunately, neither of those things happened.
Nope. It's all a lie.
They did their best. Unfortunately,
and then
their
he
best
has a stroke
crash. Yeah, he has a stroke and then his vein blows again, which I don't understand how, but he's not setting them up for success. Like, they're trying hard and it kind of seems like he's not trying at all.
Who, Nick?
Yeah. They're trying really hard selfish. To save him and he's trying really hard to die. And it's just like, can you just get it together?
Yeah. The other two one-liners that I have, he's like, I'm feeling weak. And she's like, well, like how? And he's like, I'm feeling weak like a person who's losing a lot of blood. And I'm like, tracks.
Yeah, let me just check your chart here. That's good news because you are that. So.
And then he goes, yeah. I'm in love with you now, which is hilarious because it's just the writing on the wall. It's the writing of the contract in blood on the wall.
Mm-hmm. The death contract.
She's covered. She's completely soaked in that man's bodily fluid.
Yeah, can you imagine? And then it's like, you know that when that dries, you're like so crusty. Like, it's a long time before she can shower. And it is on her. It's probably also in her mouth.
I can imagine that dried blood in that copious of an amount just does not smell good.
Also, when they pan to it on the floor, I'm like, that's not enough blood. Like, when they roll him out and they show the blood, I'm like, nope, mm-mm. That is not enough blood. There needs to be 18 more of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. They really stack the deck against this guy. But then we get, like, the scene where she's just saying over and over, please live, please live, please live.
Yeah.
And then Han is like, she's saying, like, don't die or please live.
Yes,
I
also
like
noted this, and I definitely don't think I would have noticed this had we not been, like, taking notes. That part where, again, it's very gray, it's like climactic switch, like, cut from surgery to surgery to surgery, all at, like, the point when anybody could die at any given moment. And every surgeon is doing that, but in a different way. Like, Richard says, fight, come on, Ray, fight. Sloan saying, come on, come on, come on. Han saying, you don't get to die, or like, you will not die, or something like that. Bailey is saying something also. I wrote it down. Hold on. Have it.
Is that when she says, I've come too far to rising above for you to die? Something like that.
No, that's after that. Oh, good God.
Don't crash your computer trying to get this note. It's okay. But either way, they're all saying this. They're all saying some semblance of the same thing.
Yeah. Sloan's saying, come on, Nick. Lexi, please live. Derek is telling Mary, you can do it. You could do it. Han saying, you will not die. Richard saying, fight. So Bailey isn't there at this point, but yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about the end scene where Lexi was telling Christina, and Christina's actually being nice. She's like, you were brave.
This
you
is
did the
such
right
a
thing.
Good Christina scene.
From
really
this
a good
scene,
Christina episode.
It's a good Christina episode. From this scene all the way to the end when she takes Lexi home and they're all together, it's a good Christina moment. I have a little bit of question marks around the other Christina, the Christina and Bailey scene. But I'm going
to
need some explanation because I'm a heterosexual white male and I don't understand everything all the time. Which I am going to acknowledge my ignorance and call it out.
I appreciate that. And that's how we make progress.
It's true. Lexi was like, we killed him. And it's because they were underprepared, right? We have to remember, and I forget sometimes, it's a teaching hospital. These things happen.
Although the situations surrounding that in this episode weren't specific to the teaching aspect. It was just like the perfect storm of everybody who was in an OR could not get out of an OR. Like,
I understand
Derek's
that
thing with Mary was going on. Han's patient was just like refusing to stabilize. Shane was just being a piece of fucking shit in every way conceivable.
They should have just demoted him to a procedure room and said, all right,
best
Dr. Evil's son is in here. We got to take care of him.
Yeah.
But I know that it wasn't necessarily the pieces that led exactly to the deaths was not directly related to it being a teaching hospital. But the fact of the matter is that they are all still learning. Yeah. It's not a hospital of all Baileys or all Sloanes and Hans, right? No one, nowhere is. But this hospital has, you had Alex, who is doing an irrigation when the heart grafts blew. You had Lexi with Nick when the carotid blew. You had Meredith, who is doing these surgeries with this procedure with Ray. Mm-hmm. You have Izzy, who is kind of bouncing around all over the place. And then George really didn't do shit. He just was out here trying to save Bailey's marriage.
Yeah.
It was a perfect storm where no one was perfect in what they were doing in this episode. And I think that was Lexi's point, is we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And especially her. She's an intern.
Yeah. Chris, she says this hospital killed him. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That tracks. And she's like, sometimes that's just what happens. And Lexi's like, but that's fucked up. And Christina's like, well, we help more than we hurt. So what can you do?
That's medicine. That's medicine.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So it's a bummer that Nick dies, obviously, because we all like Nick. But he's a big name actor. You can't keep him in for this long. Surprising they got him for a two-parter, right?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add before we go into the Nazi?
No, I think those were all the good points for Nick, and especially that end scene with where Christina's talking to Lexi and Lexi's just like, I have no one, which I think is why she was latching on to Nick, is because she was like, oh, look, I can have a friend. Like, this is someone that like could be my friend. Like, he'll live. And then like, maybe when he's out of the hospital, like we can be friends. And then he just dies right in front of her. So that doesn't work out quite so well. But yeah, I think that was part of why she got so upset. Also, like, I do think it's also like her first big patient, like traumatic death like that. And do you have to work tomorrow? Because you are going to be hungover.
No, I'll be good.
I
got to work at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Great. I love that for you. So I just think this is like one of those patients that is really going to, you know, kind of how like Bonnie was such a big deal for Meredith. Like, this would be that for Lexi for sure. So when Lexi drowns, Seth Green will show back up.
I hope.
To talk her back to Earth.
I hope. The thing that I liked about the end, and this is the last note that I have, is Christina, she's not healed. I don't think that she's completely healed over the Burke situation, but I think that she's in a spot right now where she's like, okay, I can understand that Meredith needs some healing too. And this isn't just Lexi's alone, but like also Meredith is kind of alone. And
but
everyone,
two birds, one stone.
Two birds, one stone. Yeah. I may not be healed, but I'm healed enough to understand the sanctity of efficiency, everyone. And that's
also like at the end of the day, she just like she has a soft spot. Like she comes off callous and hard and like, but at the end of the day, she cares about the people she cares about. And she's been in this situation, you know, with she sees obviously the Meredith and Lexi from Meredith's side of it, but now she's starting to see like And she knows about drunk Thatcher probably from Meredith from a couple weeks ago. So I think she's just kind of putting it all together and being like, we're all in this together. At the end of the day, like we all have these experiences that trauma bond us. So let's fucking trauma bond and get drunk.
Love a good trauma bond.
Am I right? We trauma bond constantly.
Ooh, child.
It's just like everyone at Disney is just trauma bonded from 100%. Working at Disney. Yeah. So if you know, you know. So I think that was it. I just love Christina and I just love it when she has a little glimmer of like
humanity.
When the walls come down a little bit. You know what I mean? Like when she's a good friend.
I'm waiting for Burke to show back up and be like, I'm back to finally marry you. And then she's like, I married Colin Marlowe. So
I married Lexi Gray. So I'm good.
Yeah. She's much hotter than you, Preston.
Well, that's not true. But anyways, okay.
Depends on who you ask.
That's probably true. Okay. So Bailey, Shane, Tucker, George, Nazis are garbage.
Yeah. Also, I was joking last time, but I did not see that. Or sorry, fuck, I meant to say I didn't do this on purpose last time. I'm doing it on purpose this time. I did not see that coming with the whole fixing of his tummy tuck. And also, Tucker.
That's what we like to say, immediate karma.
Yeah. Not immediate Carmen. Immediate Carmen is a very good thing.
Medium.
Hmm.
No one has ever had immediate Carmen. Everyone always has 30 minutes late Carmen.
Yes. But 30 minutes late Carmen lasts for 6 hours or more every time.
It's so much time that you can be early. And then you have 1 minute to be on time. And then late lasts forever.
Gosh, that skit is so funny. I was thinking about that. I don't remember who it is, but yeah, he's like, early lasts for hours.
You can be early for hours, days even.
Late lasts
on time
forever.
Is 1 minute, and late is forever.
So funny.
Okay. So yeah, Shane is still a piece of garbage. So you mentioned, I will say, I wanted to mention this because I'll forget. In the last episode, you were like, I'm confused. His partner is black. And that is addressed. So they do address that. George is like, oh, wait, you're friends with her. And he's like, yeah, I just don't want her to like marry into my kind because I'm a piece of garbage.
Yeah, I wrote this down. He says, I'm not the devil. I'm just a guy with a belief system. And I wrote, the devil also has a fucking belief system, you dickhead. What
like,
the fuck?
If your belief system aligns with Satan, then you're not a great guy.
You may not be Satan, but you're a stone's throw away,
you're
pal.
You're just like, you're chumming up with him, you know, bumping elbows with Satan.
You are playing Texas Hold'em.
Jesus Christ.
And George is savage.
The note I wrote is, this is the best George moment to date, in my opinion. There is not a better George scene than this scene at the end when he is like telling Shane what happened. And Shane's like, well, Dr. Bailey did this on purpose. And he's like, you know what? Yeah. But if it was me, I would have killed you on purpose. So fuck off.
And then he's like, and the world would be a better place with you dead.
If we're going to mention our belief system, here's mine. I wish I could murder you legally.
I'm not the Satan. I'm not Satan. I'm just a guy with beliefs. And I believe you should be dead, sir.
NBD, I will kill you if you come back here. Don't ever look at me again. Hands down.
It's so good. I didn't expect this to end the way it did, because here's the thing. Bailey sends everyone away, and mm-hmm. she is with this guy alone a long time. Multiple times. Every time George gets back, who is only there because of his Nazi request.
Yeah.
Bailey's like, go. I need you to talk to my husband. Go. And he gets back. And he's like, and she's like, don't even fucking worry about scrubbing in. Go. I'm going to kill this dude while you're gone. Go. And then Christina, go. Then George comes back and she's like, fucking go back. Like, she's there alone. A lot.
Yeah, but
this
she would never.
Guy.
Bailey would
no,
never.
I was worried. I was worried that he was going to die for an unforeseen circumstance and she was going to get blamed.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
She was putting herself into a scary situation.
And she does say, a person can only rise so far. There is a ceiling, and I am about to hit it. To which Shane says, BRB, gonna try and die again.
Just hanging out with a devil down here in hell.
Also, you have to say, like, the anesthesiologist is always in the room. At the very least, there's probably scrub nurses, right?
Yeah. I'm sure one of them maybe somewhere is white. Like, I don't know. Because the anesthesiologist, if I'm understanding correctly, that gentleman was Asian.
Did appear to be Asian, yes.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. So, yeah, this is one of those scenes, or episodes rather, where you're like, the people that deserve to live did not get to live. And the people who, no, I'm not going to say deserve to die, but I will say, like what George says, the world would be a better place if they weren't there. They live, and that's a sad reality because those people are in the world. There are people that make the world a worse place, and they don't die in ambulance crashes.
Yeah.
They just keep making the world worse. So that's all we can do is try and make the world better.
It's true. And when the Nazis reach out to you via your Rocket Mail accounts and your AOL accounts, everyone, say no. Mm-hmm. Just say no. Delete that email.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not okay. So Bailey and Tucker.
Woof.
This man. It is obviously we are meant to be on Bailey's side. She is like the main. She is the one we know and love. No one out here does not like Miranda Bailey. It is. You have to kind of imagine, like, it's easy to say, oh, she's saving someone's life. Like, yes, she is. And that should be a priority. I agree. I think kind of maybe what happened is when they got married, he was like, yeah, I'll be fine with it. And then he also hit a ceiling, right? When she's like, yeah. There's a ceiling. He hit that ceiling. I don't think he was fair. I think he waited too long to bring this up to her. I don't think he gives her a chance. And there is more that could have been done on the part of both parties. I am obviously team Miranda Bailey until death takes me from this earth. And then I will be team Miranda Bailey from beyond the grave. But I kind of like, it's complicated and there's layers and it's understandable how someone could get there. However, I just sometimes think, but like, if the other person is literally saving lives, maybe you could have some grace, because that's important.
Yeah. So this is a couple interesting things that you mentioned there. Like, George straight up in the first conversation tells Tucker,
yeah,
dude, she's saving a white supremacist.
She's having a bad day.
Yeah. Like, you think your day is rough. She's having to save someone who would rather see her dead or enslaved in some capacity. Like, he truly believes that he's better than her because of the color of her skin, and she's saving his life. And Tucker is so far gone, so jaded, that he's like, okay, well, we're fucking done.
I was loading the dishwasher this morning, so
we both have it equally worse.
So, you know, our lives are both hard.
Right. And I'm not going to even try to compare in any way or relate to what would be going through a black female surgeon's head if this was real, right?
Yeah.
I can't fathom that. What I would imagine, though, is that when you have a relationship with a black man and a black woman, I would imagine the husband in that scenario, if they're married, is probably going to have a little bit more grace than they're writing into Tucker's character here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, that's why I'm saying it seems from the very beginning of last episode,
all
when
speculation,
the storyline, he has made the decision to not have any, like, give and not to hear her out or, like, put any amount of understanding on her and her life and what she does on a day-to-day basis. And I am a stay-at-home parent. I know it's very difficult, but I also know, like, who I married and what I signed up for. And I didn't sign up to be a surgeon or to be the wife of a surgeon or the partner of a surgeon. And I feel like you should be going in. And based on the timeline we're given, he would have known that she was going into surgery when they were together. So I don't know, like, but it really seems to me when you have an issue in a relationship, you can't only expect the other person to do anything about it. Like, you have to come to the table also willing to work. And it does not seem like he is coming here and being like, the only thing you can do to stay married to me is to stop doing your job, which is just unreasonable. And then when you add on top of it, these layers of like, oh, now they have a child. And there was like a traumatic incident with their birth. And now she's chief resident. She's getting promoted. She has these like really big career goals. She's wildly successful. and now you're going to stay home from your job. I'm like, there are a lot of layers to it. But like, again, I just think that he's coming in and being like, you are the problem. We made a choice together for me to stay home and care for our child, but you're the problem. I'm now mad at you about the choice that we made together.
Well, the interesting thing too is, so she's not working 7 days straight, 7 days a week, 365. So if it was me, and I went through this being kind of the pseudo stay-at-home dad for the last 4 months, mm-hmm. when Jessica was home, I was like, hey, this is what I need, right? But it was a little bit different because we still had Marla with daycare, so it wasn't like a constant thing where I'm constantly with the baby, and that's respect to all of the stay-at-home moms out there, yourself included, who are with a baby all day, because I can't even imagine doing that. But that's the picture I think they're painting a little bit with Tucker, is he's with little Tuck all day long. And, you know, I get it. That's draining. But that's where you have to have that conversation of, it's not we're getting a divorce and I'm leaving you and I'm tired of feeling like number two, because you're always going to be number two to saving lives. That's just, I think, kind of fair. But
that's it's what you like, signed up for. So
let's create boundaries around your weekend. Let's create boundaries around your days off. Let's create boundaries around your time. Let's find another way to create boundaries or create healthy communication within the relationship. He's already fallen off the deep end. He had his mind made up going into it.
Exactly. That's the issue.
Yeah. Which isn't fair to Bailey. I think it's interesting that she keeps sending George out there and not taking advantage of the soon. She's saying soon, but then she's like, okay, just turn right around and give him this message. Just let it simmer, Bailey. You're busy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just a rough storyline.
And then she goes for the jugular, though.
Yeah.
I took a vow to save lives. You took a vow forever. You're stuck.
Yeah.
We are stuck. Tell him that. And then he leaves.
And like, do you maybe want someone who would care for you if you were in this situation?
It's just all a lot. What other, anything else that you want to add on the Bailey? The Bailey.
I mean, he just leaves. It sucks. He just leaves.
So, prediction.
Yes.
That's the last time we see Tuck. They're officially divorced.
Okay.
They're done.
They're done. I mean, that's what he said, basically.
And she goes back to her maiden name, Miranda Bailey.
What?
Well, what is her maiden name?
We don't know.
Oh. You know, because they get divorced.
But, like, if you got a doctorate degree with that last name, you got your doctorate degree, like, with Magnolo, and let's say that your last name was Smith previously. So it's just like, I think it's like more work. To my understanding, it's more work. So like, I know people who were married after they got their doctorate and didn't change their name because they're like, well, this is the name on it, all my stuff.
I don't know enough about that. I plan on never changing my name. I plan on encouraging all of my daughters.
My name and never being a doctor. So
yeah, I encourage all of my daughters to have their future spouse take the Magnolo last name. So hopefully we'll never have to deal with that here in our bloodline. any random thoughts that we missed before we go into
Christina
rating?
And Bailey.
What?
Christina and Bailey. The Christina and Bailey.
Oh, yes. Okay. I need you to explain it to me.
Okay.
I don't understand why Christina is so upset. She's got this. So here, I think I made a note here. So Christina's obviously upset at Bailey for pulling her off of Han's surgery. I don't understand when she says it's because the color of my skin and I resent it.
Because Bailey explicitly said in the last one, well, you're not black, but you're not white. So I basically, she was like using her to be like, ha ha, like here's a loophole in your racism, Shane.
I guess I'm having a hard time understanding Christina's feelings in this moment.
she was doing well with Han, which she worked really hard to get into that position. And she was going to be on this surgery that clearly would have been like a great learning opportunity because she was on the Nolston case. Right. Izzy took her spot when Bailey pulled her off. She was on Han's service. And like Bailey knows how hard she's working for that. And she knows she wants to be in cardio.
Got it. That makes more sense getting into that. I think the thing that I have a hard time understanding was where in the beginning when she said it was because of the color of my skin, but I completely forgot that Bailey had said that in part one of you're not black, you're not white.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because we have other white people in this show. She could have taken Izzy, who is just white. And she ends up taking George, and then Alex was there. Meredith was there. Actually, every other resident is white.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that
group,
intern class of them
That group, yes. So okay, thank you for explaining. I think a little bit of that was lost, and I had just forgotten that part there. But when you're looking at it from both those, excuse me, my goodness, all that mead that I'm drinking. Both those pieces just got a little bit lost for me.
Yeah. And what I liked about it is it's very matter of fact. She doesn't come in like yelling or anything. She's like, I understand that you're having a hard day, but now the day is done. And I need to say this because when you were focusing so much on what you were going through, you did not realize what you were doing to me on this same base of like the color of my skin. And taking away from my education and something I'm working hard for. And she just says it matter of factly. And she's like, you need to know. I'm like, it was not okay with me. And then she's like, just says her piece and goes. And I think it was well done in that way where it was like a professional. It wasn't like accusatory. She's like, this is what happened. These are the facts. Like you said that this was your reasoning and I'm not okay with that. And I understand that you had a hard day, but like, you're not the only one. Good day. So I just thought it was a really well done scene.
The scene was well done.
Mm-hmm.
And the points now make more sense. And I appreciate you for walking me through it.
You're so welcome. I appreciate you for asking.
Yes. And anyone out there...
It definitely, if you don't remember that part from part one, I do think it would be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, she does explicitly say it is because of the color of her skin, so...
Yeah, and that makes more sense. Also, anyone who's listening out there, I know that I think I've tried to say this before. Obviously... Kelsey and I are going to have very different perspectives for some of the challenges with this, but we're both white, and I know that, especially me being a straight white man, there's a lot of white privilege that goes into some of my views, and I'm trying my best to really understand some of these things, and I'm going to ask questions because I want to, like you said, Kelsey, we don't, you know, make that progress without asking because...
Yeah.
I could very easily have ended up like fucking Shane, and I'm so glad I'm not.
I'm also glad you're not, because we sure as shit wouldn't be friends.
Hell no.
And that's something that Shonda is great about in all of her shows, is diversity, inclusion, and addressing topics like this in this way where it's organic and it like promotes conversation, and it just makes you look at things in a different worldview that maybe you would have not experienced on your own.
Can you imagine how terrible it would have been if they introduced Shane and the big reveal is the swastika? And I'm like, finally, someone gets me.
Like, yeah, I would have been like, well, we're not airing this or doing any more podcasts and we will no longer be speaking. I'm so sorry. I now have to call Jessica and ask about a divorce.
You know, but here's the problem that I have with that is that there are people out there who were like, finally, representation in my TV shows. Although... I think we both pinpointed it in one of either part one or part one, part two last week of like that tattoo is just not realistic. That's a lot of solid color stuff. And that's a lot of pain.
People get those done, man.
I you know, get it.
It's wild.
No, thank you. Anyways.
Love them. Throw them not to, but.
Yeah. Should we rate the episode?
We should rate this one individually first.
All right. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'm going to give this one part two. So we had the same rating last time. We both did 4.5.
Yes.
I'm going to give this one 4.3.
Okay.
fellow 0.3 because I think it's still good. It's a little choppy. There's a lot happening, but a lot happens. So, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot happening, but a lot happened. So it's very well done. I think you go.
I'm giving it a solid. So this is not going to make sense. Okay. I'm giving it a 4.0, a fellow, just an even fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But can I tell you my two part episode together ranking?
Yes.
So 4.9.
Mine's a 5.
So mine was almost a 5. You know, the one thing that would have held it, that would have gotten it a 5?
If Shane died.
If Shane died in an explosion. If all of a sudden they're like, wait, shit, his carotid artery is actually a bomb. No, it was, I had a 4.5 and a 4, but my overall went up, and I'm glad you did too. You were at a 4.5 and a 4.3, and it was a 5 overall. Mm-hmm. We're pretty in sync on this. I didn't think it was the perfect two-part episode, but I really liked it. I really,
so what really made it not it. A 5?
Shane lived. Like, the fuck?
I mean, yeah, that was a bummer, but that's real life, unfortunately.
I also, the only other thing that I would have really liked is, I don't think Izzy deserved to get low-roaded, and...
Yeah, that did suck.
And then I also
would have loved any amount of, like, if that woman had been like, you know what we didn't talk about? What? Alex fucking handing Ava her reality on a my platter.
Fuck. Which, and then they just keep saying, going.
You were saying some pretty similar things in last episode. I meant to listen to the predictions part of last week's, but I didn't get a chance to. But you were saying something similar where you were like, she's married, like, what does she want? And so he basically was like, and he kept calling her Rebecca, and it's important to note that she's like, you need to call me Ava, like, that's like,
and he doesn't.
Okay. Yeah, he keeps calling her Rebecca. He's like, this is not your life, why are you here? Like, you didn't come here to like talk to me and like have a relationship with me. Yes. Because you are married with a baby, so if you want to fuck, we'll fuck. And he's like, oh, that girl you were talking to, I'm screwing her. Also, I got kicked out of surgery for a week because I snuck you in, so like, I don't have time to like baby you. If you want to fuck, then we're gonna fuck. If you want anything else, I don't have time for it. So again, it's like,
and she does it. She,
does that make him an A+ person? No, but I appreciate the honesty.
And he didn't do that, and then was like sticking the penis right in with her saying no. Yeah. She was like, I'm gonna kiss you back. You're a dick, but it's true. You're honest. I agree. I forgot about that part actually. And there was the scene where Mark was like, what? Wait, stop. Yeah, I made that face. I built that face from scratch. Mm-hmm. So funny. But yeah, I just, with the Alex and Ava thing, it doesn't make sense. I don't see the means to their end. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Anyways. So what made this episode a 5 for you? These two episodes together, what made it a 5 for you?
I just think I love it. It's very memorable. Like, as someone who watched it, you know, in 2007, and now it's 2023, and I remember very vividly, like, all of it. I think it's well done. I like the glimpses that we get into, like, Han. I like, you know, there are storylines that suck. Like, the Bailey and Tucker storyline, like, that sucks, but that's real to me. Sad. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it in shows and movies when things don't all just like work out perfectly, because that's real life. Like, that's realistic to me. And so, yeah, I just like it. It's a good one. And I like that it kind of seems like we're maybe on the right path with the Meredith and Lexi situation. The Meredith and Derek situation, obviously, like, there's going to be drama because he just kissed Rose and then she told him this and then she ran away. So it's like, just waiting for that shoe to drop. But, you know, it's fine. We're making progress. We love to see progress.
It's true. Even if it's not always forward progress, it can be backwards progress. Progress is progress.
Regress.
Congress. Regress. Listen, I live my life with no regress. What can I do to predict, or what else do you have before we wrap this episode up in a tight little bow and go into a new season of our lives post Seth Green being alive?
If you want to predict Ava, Rebecca, and Alex.
I think this is the last time we see Ava, Rebecca.
Okay. I think you've said that four different times.
I think this is the last time that I'll say it.
Derek and Meredith and Rose.
Derek and Rose are going to bang.
Okay.
And Meredith is going to find out.
Okay.
But Meredith, I think, is going to be like, I get it. It took me a long time. And because the writers are making me want you, I'm going to be okay with it.
Okay. Lexi and Alex.
Thatcher is going to walk in on them having sex in Meredith's house.
Oh, my. George and just anything with George.
I can't make a prediction with George right now. I
can't care. I don't have the will to care.
I don't. The Izzy and George thing was compelling because I wanted to see them work it out. I think they have chemistry.
I did not want to see them work it out. And I got what I wanted.
I knew they wouldn't, but I wanted to see it happen anyways. George, maybe George never actually gets married on this show and he just leaves the show a single person, or he stays the show a single person. I don't know what he does. I have no idea.
You know, not everyone gets married in life, and that's fine.
Izzy leaves the show a single person.
Okay. Okay, that's probably it. I can't think of anything else. I'm too sleepy and you're too drunk. So those are the good predictions. We'll get back into it next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us on Instagram at Grey's Academy Pod. You can email us greysacademypod@gmail.com. You can follow us at chaoticallykelsey and carmen.gabriel.official. And we just love our listeners. We had our highest stream day ever this past week and a couple of several high ones after that as well. So we love to see it. We appreciate you guys. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell strangers on the street. And if you see Carmen selling you some shoes.
No spoilies, no spoilers. If you ask me what I do outside of my job or what I do outside of this interaction we share together, and I say I have two podcasts, and I tell you one's a Grey's Anatomy podcast, and you say, oh my gosh, I loved this part of the show when, don't, stop. I don't want to hear it. Because you're just spoiling it for all of us. And this is the golden content, the golden goose egg content. And I love you all. Kelsey, I love you. Carmen, I love me. Everyone is loved, and we'll see you all.
Sitting good.
It's, listen, look at this
tasty mead.
Almost all gone. That's
Jesus Christ.
And we'll see you all in the next one.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.